Simplify, minimize. This is a topic I'm passionate about. Because we live in a U.S. culture of excess and abundance with everything we need at our fingertips, a lot of people struggle with feeling overwhelmed by stuff. Our hearts, our minds, our homes, and our lives are cluttered with things that we really don't need, and they get in the way of our joy and contentment. Today, you'll hear some thoughts on how living a more minimal life can lead to more peace and productivity and fulfillment. So this episode might be perhaps a little bit different and hopefully just real and maybe a little bit fun for you. I went on a journey a few years ago because I hate clutter. I had to move several times within a pretty short period of time. And with three little ones and working full time, always inviting and having people in our home, and being a person that enjoyed a tidy home, I felt like I was drowning in stuff and trying to keep up. And there is a lot of Instagrammers out there, or just people out there in the world, influencers that are talking about this fad or this concept of minimalism. You might have heard of it, you might be working towards it, and you might be anti-minimalism and want to keep all your things. But hear me out today. We're going to have a little fun with this one. I am by no means a devout minimalist, but I definitely love to purge. I detest hoarding. I don't see a need to keep things that we don't use. And I want to just share some thoughts on why this has been freeing for me. I am totally the mom that the kids bring all their schoolwork home. And unless it's like super impressive, it just goes right in the trash because I don't know that we're ever really going to look at it again. So I'm not completely cruel. I do save, you know, the cutesy art projects and things like that. But frequently my kids will ask for things that I know I have long ago put in the trash. And I just say, oh man, I'm not sure where that's at. And then we move right along. I want to start by reading some scripture to you. Hang in there with me. They're all going to be in the Message translation. So I just want to read these to you, and then we'll dive into this subject a little bit. The first passage comes from Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have, since God assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you. We can boldly say God is there, ready to help. We're fearless no matter what, who or what can get me. 1 John 2:17. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. 1 Timothy 6:6 through 8. A devout life does bring wealth, but it's the rich simplicity of being yourself before God. Since we entered the world penniless and will leave it penniless, if we have bread on the table and shoes on our feet, that's enough. Matthew 6:19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then the last verse I'm going to read is 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. Tell those rich in the world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves, so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever imagine, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. And if they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. So I entered into this journey in a season of life where I felt overwhelmed. And as I began to kind of follow a few people on Instagram who had adopted a minimalist lifestyle, I was like, okay, I can track with this. So I began to just take, I started with like one closet at a time and then just began to take one room at a time and go through, get rid of things that I think it's the phrase that did not spark joy or that we didn't use a lot. And I started with my kids' rooms and got rid and purged a lot of toys that they never played with. I realized even though we didn't buy toys frequently, my kids pretty much got toys at their birthday and Christmas, but they have very generous grandparents. And so we had a whole lot of stuff. And as I began to get rid of things and keep the things that they truly wanted to keep, or I felt had value, maybe educational toys or things that could help in their development, I noticed that they weren't so overwhelmed with actually choosing a toy that they spent way more time playing and engaging because they weren't overwhelmed by so many options in front of them. And then we began a cycle of taking some toys away, only leaving a few out, and then switching those. So when you bring new ones into the picture, they're engaged all over again. And I think it just supports this concept that when we live in excess and when we live in abundance, it's like we don't even enjoy the things we have because we have too many things to choose from. We also walked through this in our family when my parents sold the house and left the city that they had been in for all of their lives to relocate to a different state to where their children were in retirement. And so the home that they had lived in for 30 plus years, they began to kind of go through, and my mom began to get rid of things. And it was just a really unique journey of realizing all the things that she had held on to throughout the years that she never even remembered that she had, that she didn't really need. And in truth, she took a lot of weight off of me and my sister having to go through all their things one day because she really just kept the things that had value to her. So I've kind of journeyed through this a little bit and I've realized the benefits that it's provided to me. And so I just want to share some of those with you so that if you're feeling overwhelmed by stuff in your life, there is great benefit to simplifying. This is not like a soapbox accusatory message of go get rid of all of your possessions and the things that you find joy in and enjoy. Like, I'm not telling you to clean out and get rid of everything. I do think there are practices that we can put in our life to simplify things that will make us healthier versions of ourselves. So first of all, the first benefit is that it does lighten our load, truly. We naturally feel better in a cleaner, less cluttered environment. We're naturally more productive. And I think that most counselors or books that you read about people that are even struggling with like mood or depression, things like that, one of the first things they'll tell you to do is get out of bed and make your bed. So when you see something that is tidy, you find more contentment in that. We feel better. Our load is lighter. Another benefit is that we can focus on what we truly do find joy in, much like the example that I gave with my kids' toys. When we have so much stuff that we don't even appreciate the things that we do have, we get lost in it all. Another benefit is that it allows us to operate in better self-discipline. Being a culture of excess, being kind of a lazy culture because we have so many advances that keep us from having to work for a lot of things. The discipline of having to kind of be a gatekeeper for the things in our home, and also certain disciplines like one thing I follow is called the nightly tidy. So every night before you go to bed, they call it tucking in your kitchen. And so, for example, if you have come home from working, you've fed the family, don't just leave your dishes out. Like, you want to wake up to a clean kitchen. So you want to spend the extra time to clean up the dishes, wipe down the counter, if that even means setting out cups or lunches for the next day so it's ready to go in the morning. You basically tuck in your kitchen, tuck in your home, pick up the things that are out. You do the nightly tidy, you make your bed every day. All of these disciplines just help us really become more productive individuals and help us to function more productively in our spaces. And you can start small. If that feels really overwhelming to you, just pick one thing that you're going to commit to do for 1 week. It might be make your bed every morning for 1 week. And then the next week you add in, well, I'm going to make my bed and then I'm going to spend a certain amount of time picking up at this time during the day. Just gradually build until you have practices in your day that will not take up a lot of time if it becomes part of your routine. Another benefit is that it allows us to be generous. I think I was reading yesterday in Acts 2, and at the end of that chapter, it talked about after the 3,000 came to salvation and the church was born. This is like during Pentecost. It talked about them becoming fully devoted followers, and there's a portion in there that says sharing what they had. There wasn't this sense of having to save for a rainy day if someone else needed what they had. And so I just think there's so much that we can do for others, even in cleaning out things that we don't use, passing down clothes to others who have kids, you know, that may be our kids' age, or providing a meal for someone. It can look so many different ways, but when we aren't so concerned with stuff, it allows us to be generous to others. And I think we all get in places where I call it, I get in seasons of the wants where, okay, I really want to fix up my back patio. And then I just spend endless hours looking at patio furniture and rugs and this and that. And then I get in these cycles of spending and excess when it's not really things. Sure, it's going to add value, but I just get obsessed in these times with trying to cultivate things on the earth that aren't going to be eternal. It leads us to being in struggles of trying to live above our means and spend more than we really have to spend, which then causes financial stress, which then causes stress on our families. So I'm not saying you can't spend it all. That's not the message I'm trying to give. But I just do think that there's balance, and it's important to be a gatekeeper in your life. When it comes to living a more simplified life, really ask yourself the question, do I really need this right now? There will be people who adapt this concept to varying degrees. The simplified minimal life for one person might look totally different for someone else. And I don't think that we're here to judge like your level of minimalism, like you've arrived at some sort of gold star. But I do think there is great benefit in evaluating how incorporating some of these concepts might contribute to just healthier ways that we can live. And I do think there's some biblical guidance to support this. I think this is something that we struggle with a whole lot more as the American Western culture, because we are a culture of excess. This is a conversation that doesn't really probably translate to other parts of the world because they don't struggle with having so many things, which is really, it's grounding for us as believers, that we really just begin to assess what are the things that are unshakable? What are the basics? Do we have food, shelter, water, clothing? Are we comfortable? It's our faith. It's the word of God. It's the relationship that we have with the Lord. It's our witness and the way we share the gospel. Like, focus on the basics. And that's where we really will find our contentment and joy. It's not in things. I'm going to share a quote that I found this morning, and it's from a girl named Courtney Carver. She said, "When you're overwhelmed, tired, or stressed, the solution is almost always less. Get rid of something, lots of some things." I think it's also interesting to note that there is, I think, a little bit of a generational component to this. I notice even in my own family, my mom has been pretty good at, she's in her 60s, and she's been pretty good as she transitioned from one state to another, getting rid of the home that she'd lived in for many years. She was really good about getting rid of things, and it wasn't super hard for her. But I think generations of people who grew up, you know, Great Depression, post, after that, who didn't have a lot, who worked really hard for the things that they have, it's harder for them to either let go of things or want to store up things because they've known what it's like to be without. And then when you get closer to the generations that are more current, the millennials, the Gen Zs, you're going to find that those people really, or those groups of people, are largely not as obsessed with things. My mom was just updating her will. And so she was asking me and my sister, if there was anything in her home that we wanted, you know. And the only thing, there's one piece of furniture, it's called a hall tree, that she has that I really want. And that is the only thing. And my sister was like, nope, there's nothing. So, which it sounds really insensitive, but there's just not as much value in things, I think. Of course, there's always outliers, and there's always unique personalities. That's not a blanket statement for everyone in culture. But as we do study generations and the leanings of different people and different age brackets, that is an interesting thing to note. So this conversation has just been different. It's just meant to be lighthearted, but if you have, you know, struggled with feeling overwhelmed, struggled to feel like I can't keep up my house, I can't keep up my life, maybe your car's super nasty and cluttered and you don't know where to go there, it really does benefit your well-being to just begin to take small steps towards assessing the things that you can get rid of, cut the excess, get back to the basics. And just like the Courtney Carver quote said, when you're overwhelmed, almost always the answer is less. Get rid of something, lots of somethings.
Thanks for listening to Gather, Women Better Together. Gather is a resource from IPHC Women. We hope that this podcast is a place of encouragement and inspiration, no matter what seasonal life you are in. Don't forget to subscribe, and please leave us a review or comment. We love to hear from you. We truly believe women are better together.